Today we are reading Luke chapter 23. Luke 23. Then the whole company of them arose and brought him before Pilate. And they began to accuse him, saying, "We found this man misleading our nation and forbidding us to give tribute to Caesar, and saying that he himself is Christ, a king." And Pilate asked him, "Are you the king of the Jews?" And he answered him, "You have said so." Then Pilate said to the chief priests and to the crowds, "I find no guilt in this man." But they were urgent, saying, "He stirs up the people, teaching throughout all Judea, from Galilee even to this place." When Pilate heard this, he asked whether this man was a Galilean. And when he learned that he belonged to Herod's jurisdiction, he sent him over to Herod, who was himself in Jerusalem at that time. When Herod saw Jesus, he was very glad, for he had long desired to see him, because he had heard about him, and he was hoping to see some sign done by him. So he questioned him at length, but he made no answer. The chief priests and the scribes stood by, vehemently accusing him. And Herod with his soldiers treated him with contempt and mocked him. Then, arraying him in splendid clothing, he sent him back to Pilate. And Herod and Pilate became friends with each other that very day, for before this they had been at enmity with each other. Pilate then called together the chief priests and the rulers and the people, and said to them, "You brought me this man as one who is misleading the people. And after examining him before you, behold, I did not find this man guilty of any of your charges against him. Neither did Herod, for he sent him back to us. Look, nothing deserving death has been done by him. I will therefore punish and release him." But they all cried out together, "Away with this man, and release to us Barabbas," a man who had been thrown into prison for an insurrection started in the city and for murder. Pilate addressed them once more, desiring to release Jesus, but they kept shouting, "Crucify, crucify him." A third time he said to them, "Why? What evil has he done? I have found in him no guilt deserving death. I will therefore punish and release him." But they were urgent, demanding with loud cries that he should be crucified, and their voices prevailed. So Pilate decided that their demand should be granted. He released the man who had been thrown into prison for insurrection and murder, for whom they asked, but he delivered Jesus over to their will. And as they led him away, they seized one Simon of Cyrene, who was coming in from the country, and laid on him the cross to carry it behind Jesus. And there followed him a great multitude of the people, and of women who were mourning and lamenting for him. But turning to them, Jesus said, "Daughters of Jerusalem, do not weep for me, but weep for yourselves and for your children. For behold, the days are coming when they will say, 'Blessed are the barren, and the wombs that never bore, and the breasts that never nursed.' Then they will begin to say to the mountains, 'Fall on us,' and to the hills, 'Cover us.' For if they do these things when the wood is green, what will happen when it is dry?" Two others, who were criminals, were led away to be put to death with him. And when they came to the place that is called the Skull, there they crucified him, and the criminals, one on his right and one on the left. And Jesus said, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do." And they cast lots to divide his garments. And the people stood by, watching. But the ruler scoffed at him, saying, "He saved others, let him save himself, if he is the Christ of God, his chosen one." The soldiers also mocked him, coming up and offering him sour wine, and saying, "If you are the king of the Jews, save yourself." There was also an inscription over him, "This is the king of the Jews." One of the criminals who were hanged railed at him, saying, "Are you not the Christ? Save yourself and us." But the other rebuked him, saying, "Do you not fear God, since you are under the same sentence of condemnation? And we indeed justly, for we are receiving the due reward of our deeds. But this man has done nothing wrong." And he said, "Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom." And he said to him, "Truly I say to you, today you will be with me in paradise." It was now about the sixth hour, and there was darkness over the whole land until the ninth hour, while the sun's light failed. And the curtain of the temple was torn in two. Then Jesus, crying out with a loud voice, said, "Father, into your hands I commit my spirit." And having said this, he breathed his last. Now when the centurion saw what had taken place, he praised God, saying, "Certainly this man was innocent." And all the crowds that had assembled for this spectacle, when they saw what had taken place, returned home, beating their breasts. And all his acquaintances and the women who followed him from Galilee stood at a distance watching these things. Now there was a man named Joseph from the Jewish town of Arimathea. He was a member of the council, a good and righteous man, who had not consented to their decision and action, and he was looking for the kingdom of God. This man went to Pilate and asked for the body of Jesus. Then he took it down and wrapped it in a linen shroud and laid him in a tomb cut in stone, where no one had ever yet been laid. It was the day of preparation, and the Sabbath was beginning. The women who had come from him with Galilee followed and saw the tomb and how his body was laid. Then they returned and prepared spices and ointments. On the Sabbath, they rested according to the commandment. Luke chapter 23 details the crucifixion and death of Jesus, including his appearing before Pilate and Herod leading up to it. This is the account of what took place on that Good Friday about 2,000 years ago. The next chapter, which is the last chapter of Luke, of course, will be the account of Easter Sunday. It's always very sobering to recount Jesus' death on the cross. Whenever I read this, part of me wants to skip ahead to the resurrection and not dwell in this part too much. But Jesus' sacrifice on the cross is at the center of the gospel. Without it, there would be no gospel, no good news. This was the greatest act of love ever, and it is always fitting for us to reflect on the cross. For this devotional, let's take a look at three moments in this account that show the effects of Jesus' sacrifice. Luke, just as the other gospel writers do, tells the historical account of the crucifixion in a way where there are many truths to take away or points to dwell upon. In other words, the verses are packed with not just historical facts of what took place physically, but also moments of spiritual significance for the reader's lives. And we'll just look at three of these impact moments, if you will. First, verse 12, which comes after Pilate has found no guilt in Jesus, so he sends Jesus to be questioned by Herod, who has Jesus beaten as well, but does not give a sentence and sends him back to Pilate, arrayed in splendid clothing out of mockery. Verse 12 says, "And Herod and Pilate became friends with each other that very day, for before this they had been at enmity with each other." It's pretty safe to say that Luke did not include this verse just as a fun fact that Herod and Pilate became friends that day. But it's included because it symbolizes how Jesus' humiliation has made a way for man to be reconciled with man. Ever since sin came into the world, when Adam and Eve sinned, humans would keep wronging each other. We would build walls between each other, since what mattered most was always self. We would always protect self at the cost of others. It took Jesus, the Son of God, to become the object of mockery for Herod and Pilate to go from enemies to friends. And the Bible says that that's true for all of us. It took Jesus, the Son of God, for us to go from hatred to peace with each other. Ephesians 2 says that Jesus has broken down in his flesh the dividing wall of hostility between men. We are able to actually love those around us because of Jesus' humility. The second moment of significance I want to focus on is verse 25. He, Pilate, released the man who had been thrown into prison for insurrection and murder, for whom they asked, but he delivered Jesus over to their will. In this verse, Pilate releases Barabbas, who we learn from verse 18 is a man who had been thrown into prison for an insurrection started in the city and for murder. This was part of a Passover custom at that time where the Jewish governor would pardon one prisoner. If anybody ever deserved to be let go, it was Jesus, who Pilate himself said he found no guilt in. However, the crowds are riled up, and they demand that the insurrectionist and murderer, Barabbas, be set free. And they demand Jesus to be crucified. What a remarkable symbolic scene. Because Jesus chose to be counted guilty, because he remained silent throughout all of the beating and questioning, we, like Barabbas, are counted free. As Jesus took our condemnation on himself, we have received a second chance that we never deserved. The last verse we'll look at in this chapter is verse 34. And Jesus said, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do." This is when Jesus is hanging on the cross in between two criminals. There is no layer of symbolism here. We just see Jesus at his lowest moment, with all of the weight of our sin upon him, saying, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do." What incredible grace and courage and strength. How many of us, when we feel slighted by somebody in the smallest way, immediately think about how offended we are and how we might get even with them? Jesus, instead, requests forgiveness for those who crucified him. It's actually not even Jesus requesting forgiveness. He simply says, "Father, forgive them," because he is paying the punishment. He doesn't need to ask because he has done what is necessary for the Father's forgiveness to happen. Where there used to be a wall between us and God and us and each other, Jesus has torn it down through his death on the cross. Today, let's pause and recenter our lives on Jesus. In prayer, let's go once again to the foot of the cross, where Jesus erases every doubt of God's love for us. Is there any wrongdoing, any habitual sin, any shame that can keep us from God? No, because Jesus, the perfect Son of God, gave himself up on the cross for you and for me. And for every strained or broken relationship in our lives, Jesus' sacrifice means that there is hope and forgiveness available. Let's respond in thanksgiving and worship. Let's pray. Dear God, we just thank you for this passage, and thank you, Jesus, that you bore the cross, that you went to the cross and took on all of our shame and all of our sin so that we could be made right with you and with each other. God, I pray that as we take this moment to pause and recenter our lives on your sacrifice again, God, help us to see how this changes everything in our lives and how we are to walk in light of this. We praise you, God. Thank you, Jesus, for your humility. Thank you, Jesus, for your love for us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.